Hi everyone, and welcome to Documentation Station. I'm Steve Welton. Thank you for joining me here on this podcast, which focuses on topics helpful to behavioral health clinicians. I hope you'll find today's episode valuable and maybe even a little entertaining. If you want to learn more about me and my consulting practice, you can find me at weltonconsulting.com. In my consulting practice, the number one thing I get asked about is related to progress notes. I do get it. For most clinicians, one of the big things that keep you up all night is the fear of being audited by an insurance company and being required to return money. Most practices couldn't withstand a significant recoupment as an outcome of an audit. So it's scary, and it does happen. I don't say that to be overly dramatic. I'm just saying that essentially every health insurance company conducts audits related to claims and payments, and some of those audits lead to a recoupment. It's not without reason. Fraud, waste, and abuse related to behavioral health services for Medicare and Medicaid alone accounts for around $8 billion annually. This part of the overall impact of FWA across all healthcare goes to the tune of $100 billion a year. So, not surprisingly, insurance companies and the Department of Health and Human Services are both pretty sensitive on the topic. And so documentation rules are in place. Audits happen. And some of them lead to recoupment. And I use the word some intentionally. Not all claims-related audits lead to recoupments, or clawbacks, as some like to call it. Sure, there are real stories every day where a clinician or a group has to submit hundreds of progress notes, and after review, they receive back a list of progress notes which did not pass the audit, where they are denied or reduced. And those come with a recoupment letter demanding thousands of dollars, or tens of thousands of dollars for that matter. It's real. It happens. And it's avoidable because a lot of other clinicians or groups get audited every year through this same process, and believe it or not, nothing happens. The cases get closed with no further action. No money is returned. No corrective action plan is given. The case is just closed. So what's the difference? Why do some progress notes get rejected while others do not? So let's spend a little bit of time talking about that. Well, one issue can be simply time. I wrote a blog post on this topic that you can find on my website, weltonconsulting.com. It's a quick read called Timely Documentation Standards. You might be surprised how many progress notes are rejected each year just because they are not completed timely. What's timely? Well, that depends. Depending upon the insurance company, somewhere between 24 and 48 hours. I always encourage my clients to try and get all of their progress notes completed within 24 hours of the date and time of service. So why do insurance companies care so much about timeliness? Well, first, the real establishment of this framework is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. But their reasons are still valid. There is an expectation that progress notes are a representation of what happened during a particular incident of care, a date of service. And the accuracy of the reporting decreases the further you get away from that date of service. A pretty good definition of progress notes I once found and really like is that progress notes are notes documenting the care delivered to patients and clinical events relevant to diagnosis and treatment. They serve as the same requirements whether you're treating major depressive disorder or tonsillitis. The timeliness of those notes is key to maintaining an accurate record of the treatment, and so the 24-hour turnaround time is a standard to create some rules around that. And when you miss it by a lot, days or weeks after the date of service, the progress note is no longer timely and can be rejected out of hand by the insurance company, and there's little you can do about it related to appealing their finding. It's late. The next thing that can get you is treatment time, because psychotherapy, as we all know, is generally a timed service. Initial assessments and family therapy sessions are typically not. Most, if not all, insurance companies expect that you will document the actual start and stop times on all of your notes. If your progress notes have a general start and stop time that comes from your schedule and not from an actual documentation of real time, auditors are likely to question it. Or, if the amount of time accounted for does not equal the amount of time expected for the CPT code you used, an adjustment will be determined for recoupment. These two items account for a lot of money being recouped every year. Next, there's the use of provisionally licensed clinicians. Now, I know a lot of small groups use provisionally licensed clinicians. It's great for the group because you get young and eager clinicians. And it's great for the provisionally licensed clinicians because you have the opportunity to work and earn a living while gathering the hours to become independently licensed. But the rules for incident to billing, or in some worlds, supervisory protocol, are different between the various insurance companies. Some have very loose rules. Others have tighter rules, some have contract addendums, and some don't allow it at all. And if you run against those rules, getting audited and recoupment is only a matter of time because your claims won't align with a working reality. So make sure you're following the rules. All of those administrative pieces out of the way, we are only left with the actual documentation in the progress note content. Now, I'm not going to try and work through all of the details related to documentation content here today. There are a lot of directions that you could head, and it makes more sense with visual aids, trust me. But I do want to hit some of the high points of the progress note. Now, I understand that I am stepping into some treacherous water here. There are a lot of opinions about what's the right way to document in a progress note. Everything from using 100% checkboxes to writing a version of a psychotherapy note. I've even seen applications that create content for you, and even a new version of artificial intelligence, you know, AI, that writes out progress notes simply by putting in a few words. But I go back to the definition of what a progress note is in the first place. Documenting the care delivered to patients and clinical events relevant to diagnosis and treatment. And I feel like most of us get really overwhelmed by the process. CMS outlines that behavioral progress notes need to be complete, concise, and accurate. They should justify medical necessity, which, of course, all insurance companies expect as well. And they justify treatment. Progress notes should reflect active treatment, something that says actual psychotherapy work is going on. Again, insurance companies want to know that you're actually providing psychotherapy services and not case management services or life skills, for example. And one bit of advice that CMS gives, which I think is a really great piece of advice, is that if you have the autofill and keyword features turned on in your electronic health record application, turn them off. It becomes the pathway towards progress notes starting to look exactly or largely the same, and otherwise known as cloning, which is bad and can absolutely be another reason for recoupment to take place. Which leads me to checkboxes. I know, some of you really rely on them a lot, and they are really easy to use, and you can finish a progress note in seconds, and there are definitely uses for them, for sure. You're doing a mental status exam or a risk assessment, most of the time you're using standardized responses. A drop-down box or a checkbox is great for that. But capturing subjective content from your client, from their week, is nearly impossible this way. Now, there are probably some insurance companies that are going to let that slide. Maybe. At least one insurance company has written in their provider manual, I'm quoting here, "Templates that just elicit selected information for reimbursement purposes are often not sufficient to demonstrate coverage and coding requirements have been met." Let that sink in. So, if you're just checking boxes to gather information, at least one major insurance company has explicitly said it's probably not enough. So I'll leave it at that. So then, what does the progress note need? As we think again what a progress note is, documenting care delivered and establishing continued medical necessity for the service, all within the context of psychotherapy, we want to think about some basic stuff. First, in capturing how a client is doing, you need to document how the client is doing outside of the therapy room. For most of us, this is pretty basic. This is hopefully a lot of what's happening in the therapy room as the client recounts their past week. Of course, the focus should be related to what you're working on and where their struggles and victories are coming from. What skills have they learned in therapy that they were able to actually utilize? The challenge in all of that, of course, is how to write all of that in a brief format. Next is, how are they doing in the therapy room? That this may include a subset of the mental status exam, should absolutely include a basic risk assessment, and then how they are responding to the work. And certainly you want to provide an assessment of how they are doing overall. Of course, what did you do? What new skills did you introduce? What interventions did you employ from the treatment plan to address the challenges your client is facing? You know, this is the psychotherapy part. where are they at in context of the whole therapeutic journey? This is where you are making your argument for current medical necessity. And lastly, you want to spell out briefly what your plan is going forward. When is the next session? Where will you be focused? The progress note can be a challenge to write for a lot of clinicians. They should not take more than around 5 minutes to write, though I've spoken to many clinicians who report it's taking more like a half hour to write, which is not a sustainable practice if your goal is to be working full-time as a clinician. You do not need to be afraid of an audit. They happen. It's a result of the FWA realities of the healthcare industry in the United States, but a strong discipline around building your notes and getting them done accurately and on time is your best frontline defense for your clinical practice if and when an audit does happen. This is Documentation Station.